Life Audio.
Welcome to the Real Refreshment Podcast. Join us as we dive into motherhood at the foot of the throne with your host, Rachel Carmen. If you are tired, overwhelmed, and feeling alone, this is the place for you. A place for real moms with real stories seeking real refreshment found only in the living God. Take a minute to visit rachelcarmen.com and join the community of Real Refreshment listeners who are taking the dare to be in the Word as a top priority in the journey of motherhood. All right, let's kick off this latest episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast. Here's your host, Rachel Carmen.
Hey there, moms. It is a kind of a cold, damp January day here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I have a special treat for you today. We're going to be back in just a minute, and I'm going to introduce you to my man.
Is it hard to spark meaningful conversations with your kids? Whether you're a homeschool hero, planning activities for the next family vacation, or simply gathering around the dinner table, we've got something that can help. Introducing the Daily Family Conversation Starter by best-selling author Katie Clemens. This remarkable book offers 365 imaginative ways to connect with your children in just 5 minutes each day, with prompts like, "Who made you laugh today?" or "What would you do if you had a tail?" These simple questions open up a world of laughter, curiosity, and deeper connections. From dinner time to sleepy time, the Daily Family Conversation Starter is your key to creating memories that will last a lifetime. Don't wait to transform your family's daily routine into an adventure of discovery and fun. Grab your copy of the Daily Family Conversation Starter today, wherever books are sold.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
That would be me.
That would be you.
Am I on the show today?
You are on the show today. So I am here in my husband's office that serves as our recording studio, and I wanted to bring my husband into the conversation today, sort of to, I guess, introduce him and tell a little bit about our story so that we can get to know each other a little bit better. When I do speaking engagements, often he travels with me, so people get this part of me. He comes with me. But since we're doing this podcast thing, you're not with me. So, yeah, thanks for coming today.
Well, hey, I get to tell our love story. I like thinking about that and thinking back to 36 years ago.
I know. So last month in December, we celebrated our 36th wedding anniversary. And I'm just going to say that I think that those of us who are blessed with a great marriage, we need to be celebrating that.
Amen.
Because marriage is under fire right now as never before. And we need to hold up an example of marriage, not just sign the petition, right? But live it. And so we just celebrated 36 years. And that's part of what I want to do today on the podcast is I just want us to walk through our life story so that we can share that with the audience. Okay, so our love story. Do you want me to sort of give the a little bit of it, or do you just want to tell it? I guess since you're the guest, you can tell as much as you want.
Okay. I love talking about our love story and how we met. So I graduated with a master's degree from Purdue University and wanted to be in the South or West geographically. So my final the two best job offers I had that fit that criteria were either in Fort Worth, Texas, or Los Angeles, California. And I thought to myself, you know, I really don't want to be a single beach bum, no matter how great the weather might be in California. I think there's probably a much greater chance of finding a good, Christian, beautiful woman in Texas. So I took that job with the goal of finding a wife.
Yeah. Okay. So that is very true.
I mean, was on a mission.
He was a man on a mission. He was 25 with savings for an engagement ring, took a job in Fort Worth to find a wife. Literally, that was his mission.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're young, your time frames aren't, you know, realistic. So I moved there at the beginning of April, found a good church with a singles ministry, dated some girls in April or May, and came up short. And, you know, in that short 2 months, I felt like I had exhausted all options. However, summer was coming, and there would be new girls coming home for their summer break from college. And that did happen. And I dated some girls in May and June, and again, came up short and felt like, wow, God, she wasn't here. What do I do? So I bought myself a little red sports car instead of an engagement ring.
Okay, folks, this is a true story.
It's true. It's very true.
So all this time, we are going to the same church, but it was a pretty huge church. How many people do you think were there when we were there?
Thousands, but it had a very big, vibrant singles ministry. I'm going to all the events. I'm going to their Sunday morning class, their Sunday night eat-outs, their Tuesday night Bible study, their Wednesday night class, their Thursday night deal, and then all the things we did on the weekends. So I'm meeting plenty of people.
Right. But see, I didn't go to any of the singles thing because how old was I, Mr. Carmen?
Well, you were younger than you presented.
Okay, so
But let me back up to the sports car story. So I bought myself a brand new 2-seat sports car on a Tuesday. So I buy myself this brand new 2-seat sports car. And the very next day at the singles gathering, there's this new girl that shows up.
It was me.
It was you. And boy, was I like, where has she been? I mean, just a first blush, but we're flirting with each other before the Bible study. We go to the Bible study, and she's answering all the questions right.
Yeah, I mean, this was,
I'm just falling fast.
Yeah, this was one of those things because I did not do the singles ministry. I was just home from college for the summer. I wasn't there to meet anybody. I was supposed to go back to school in 2 weeks. And so I had a friend that I worked with, and she said, why don't you come to the singles thing tonight? And I'm like, I don't want to come to the singles thing. And she goes, just come. We're just going to have a Bible study, and then we're probably going to go out and eat afterwards. And I kind of rolled my eyes, and I went, and then I met him. And kind of the rest is history.
Yeah. So, but on that night, I love telling part of that story. So I was planning to go work out with one of my friends from the single ministries after our Bible study. But because you were there and you were going to go to eat at Chili's with all the other folks, I talked to my friend Trey and I said, hey, Trey, you're working out by yourself. I'm not working out tonight. I'm going to Chili's because I want to hang out with this new girl that just showed up. So he's my good wingman and he helped me out. No problemo. And so I show up late to Chili's because I had to make those arrangements, and we're eyeing each other across the table that evening.
Yeah.
And
it was a pretty safe circumstance,
it was.
Though. We were all, I don't know, I wish that what we had 36 years ago existed for our kids today. I don't want to digress into that conversation right now, but man, those were the days of strong, vibrant Christian singles groups.
Right. And so after that, you know, as singles, we're staying up late. So we're going to go to a late movie after that.
Right.
And that was not on my plan. I had to go to work the next day, but I'm going to the movie because this new girl's going to the movie too. And in all seriousness, we're all just kind of hanging out, sitting in chairs at the movie. I am not trying to sit next to her, but I'm sitting next to her to get to know her.
I didn't know you.
And then we're going to move, and then suddenly the lights go down, and the movie starts, and we're sitting next to each other. So nothing happened other than sitting next to each other, but that's what we're doing. It's one of the Karate Kid shows. I remember that much.
That's cheesy.
And at the end of the night, did I take you home that night? No, that did not take you home that night.
No.
So that was on a Thursday. Then Sunday comes, and Sunday night, we all do a pizza thing. And sure enough, you're there. I drive there with my friend Trey, and I'm supposed to drive him home. But I say, Trey, you're a good wingman. You need to find a new ride home. My car only seats one other, and I am taking this girl home. I'm going to make that happen. So he's all thumbs up. He's helping me. And
Trey's getting ditched twice now.
But he's a really good friend.
He must really like
him. Oh, yeah. Trey was a good friend.
So I don't remember how I got there. I think I must have ridden with my friend. But anyway, you asked if I needed a ride home, and so you take me home. And then on the way home, this is where our stories do not come together. They do not complement each other. I have one perspective on what happened, and he has another perspective. I was just making conversation, and there was, and
we're driving by the movie theater, and you make a comment about the movie that's showing.
Yeah, and I just made a comment, and he's thinking that I'm giving him the lead in to ask me out. Not true.
But I took the lead and asked you out for the following Tuesday.
So I agreed. And so...
But I take you home, drop you off, meet your parents, and
Wait. That is beautiful, too. So we had, 36 years ago, we had this vibrant Christian singles thing at church. And then you come to my house to drop me off, and you did what? You met my parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful, too. Right. I just think the story is really beautiful. And I closed the door. And my dad looked at me and he said, "Kitten," which is, it's always been my nickname for me. And he said, "That's the man you're going to marry." And I just remember going, "Whoa, what in the world? What?" And so we had our date. I think it was later that
Tuesday.
Week.
And because July 4th was coming up and you were going away for the weekend with your family.
So then I remember just staring at this guy in the car going, "Could I marry that?" I didn't know what to think about that. But things happened really fast after that, because here's part of what I want to get to. In all of this meeting him and everything, by God's grace, my mom had been encouraging me as a young girl and a young woman to pray for the person I was going to marry. And I can honestly say that when I met Davis, I recognized him as the person that I'd been praying for, which was a really weird phenomenon to experience. But I recognized him as what I had been praying for. And it sort of took my breath away that God would answer my prayer in such a tangible way with you. All that to say, we met on June 25th. And we were married
December 20th
of the same year.
Right. Well, we looked at schedules. We looked at getting married in December. We looked at getting married that next May, but your brother was going to graduate and we didn't want to steal his thunder, which led us to December of the next year. And then we said, can we back up to the first December?
Yeah.
And so we got married in December of 86.
So one of the things that I want to draw attention to as we continue on with this story is I would say that when we met and married, I loved God and I wanted to honor and serve God, but I wasn't in a place of true dependency on God. That God was doing things for me, which certainly retrospectively I'm so grateful for in our paths crossing and us meeting each other and getting married. And I know we both loved Jesus, but by his grace through events and circumstances I want to talk about when we come back from the break, I'm so grateful that he's continued to draw us to himself and into a dependence upon him that we didn't know when we first got to bed together. We'll be right back.
Is it hard to spark meaningful conversations with your kids? Whether you're a homeschool hero, planning activities for the next family vacation, or simply gathering around the dinner table, we've got something that can help. Introducing the Daily Family Conversation Starter by best-selling author Katie Clemens. This remarkable book offers 365 imaginative ways to connect with your children in just 5 minutes each day, with prompts like, "Who made you laugh today?" or "What would you do if you had a tail?" These simple questions open up a world of laughter, curiosity, and deeper connections. From dinner time to sleepy time, the Daily Family Conversation Starter is your key to creating memories that will last a lifetime. Don't wait to transform your family's daily routine into an adventure of discovery and fun. Grab your copy of The Daily Family Conversation Starter today, wherever books are sold.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Okay, so the first half of what we talked about was just sort of meeting and getting married. Now we're married. Davis, on my count, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4-ish main stakes in the ground that I feel like have been really formative in our marriage in terms of God drawing us deeper and deeper and closer to Him in ways that maybe I wouldn't have chosen, but for which I am very grateful for. And I just want to sort of walk through these. After we were married for not a really long time, we ended up moving to Ohio. And it was like moving to a foreign country for this Southern girl.
Well, it was. So my dad was diagnosed with a terminal illness. We knew his time on earth was short. And so I never envisioned myself moving back to Ohio where I grew up. But I took a nothing job. Mm-hmm. You were expecting our first.
Yep.
And we moved to Ohio knowing that we were going to be there for the last 2 or 3 years of my dad's life. And we ended up living there for 3 years, moved to Charlotte before my dad passed away in 94, but then that job moved us back to Ohio for what would indeed be the last year, the last time of my dad's life in 95, and then moved us back to North Carolina where permanently. So three relocations in 3 years was part of the story and part of the difficulty.
But even before that, when we had only been in Ohio just, I guess it was it even a year? It would have been about 18 months, I think.
Well, it was just shy of a year because okay. We moved there in early 1990.
Okay.
We had our first son in October of 1990.
Right.
And then on February 23rd of 1991, we had a severe house fire.
Okay, so this, I would say, the whole Ohio thing was sort of the first stake in the ground where I was exhausted. I was far from home. We had our son, was just a few months old. He would have been like right around 4 months old at this time. Strangely, I had been stenciling. Stenciling was a huge thing then in our downstairs. It was a cold, wet February day. I'd been stenciling all day. I needed to get out of the house. And so we went to dinner. And we packed up our son, went to dinner. When we came back, we arrived in front of our house. It was still standing, but with all of these fire trucks around it. And your brother was there, and he said it was your house. And all that we owned at that moment was on our backs, was the clothes that we had on. Everything in the house was gone through smoke damage or actual flames. Our dog died. That was a tough night.
It was. It was a very tough night where we literally, in the midst of what was probably actual shock of sorts,
yeah,
went into emergency mode, went to the grocery store with our young four-month-old and said, okay, what do we have to have
absolutely
right now?
Need, yeah.
Diapers, onesies, socks and underwear,
right,
and some things just to kind of get us through the next couple of days. We went over and spent that night at my parents' house, and I remember lying in the bed just looking at the ceiling thinking, wow, did this just really happen, and what are our next steps?
Yeah, and I just remember the next morning we were able to leave our son with your parents, and we had to go over. So it was really dark when we got to the house, and they didn't let us in the night before. But the next day we went to walk through the house, and that was devastating.
It was, yeah. The fire started in the kitchen. It was pretty significant. The kitchen was a total loss and a bathroom that was attached. And then I'd never understood what smoke damage was, but walking through the house, I understood now how severe just smoke damage can be to a house. Is it as the flames licked up the stairs, putting a dark black soot to that, and then all the smoke that can pretty much ruin anything with fabric, couches, clothes, carpet. You got to get it out because the smell is not going to come out. So, we learned a lot about home insurance, recovery, restoration, remodeling, and getting a house back in order so that we could live in it. The total process only took 3 months. When I look back, it's shocking to me that it only took 3 months. We must have had a really good builder because that was our first experience with any kind of contractor like that. But in 3 months, we had wrapped it all up, moved back in, and we're starting life back in a house that had been restored.
So I would say for me, that was one of the first times in our marriage, you know, the move to Ohio and then the fire. Both of those were the setup for the third. I felt like at each one of those things, God was saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And I would say, even with the move to Ohio, I was thrilled. I was so excited about moving up there. The fire was sort of a gut punch. I was like, whoa, what? And to see God's provision and to sense him holding us through that whole process, I don't know that I'd ever felt his presence like I did through that. But the 3 months and 3 years, that was tough. That was tough.
The three relocations in 3 years, that definitely was. We landed at the end of those 3 years in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, having spent 3 years in Ohio from 1990 to 93, meeting families on the street, becoming really good friends with these folks that homeschooled. Little did we know how that was going to shape our life going forward, because when we moved to North Carolina, we're not thinking homeschooling. We're thinking find the best public school system, which we did. Paid a little bit more for the house that we bought than we would have really liked to have spent, but we were thinking about our kids that were becoming school-aged. And so we started that homeschool journey reluctantly at first.
Yeah, and again, I felt like God was saying, do you trust me? But at this point, at the homeschool point, so our son, our oldest, our strong-willed child that I could hardly wait to put on the bus so that I could get my life back. And I felt like this time, Davis, was when God was saying, not just do you trust me, but will you obey me?
Right. Yeah, there was action on our part that was required if we actually trusted God.
So at the other intersections, I felt like, and you may feel different, but I felt like God was just saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me that I can do this for you? And I was hesitant, but yes. But I felt like this time, with the situation with our oldest son, I felt like it was like, okay, do you trust me? Will you obey me? Will you do what I've asked you to do? This was no longer just an intellectual assent. This became, are you willing to make a substantial life change and obey me?
Right. And I knew that this was going to affect you more than it was going to affect me in terms of what your days looked like. Mm. But we were in this together, and it was a big ask, and it was a major change in the direction of that our family was about to take. And so it was a big deal for both of us to say, okay, God, are you really asking us to homeschool? We started 1 year at a time, but by year two and three, we're in this. And we see how this is positively affecting our family. And we started with a commitment for the future and the long term, not having a lot of answers. And I remember those first few years when we didn't know what high school was going to look like. We didn't know what post-high school would look like, but we were solidly committed to this. Now, it took 2 or 3 years to get there. That was the toughest part of the journey. But then we were truly trusting God, and I would say more walking by faith. Because when you walk by faith, you don't know what the future holds. You were literally saying, God, we trust you, not knowing the answers. But we know this is good for us and our kids. And so, yeah, we're walking by faith.
So what would you say were the hardest parts of that obedience for you? I mean, you said you were mindful that it was going to have more of an influence on my day. But as the dad, what were the toughest parts? And where did you see God be faithful in those decisions? I mean, did you ever think about quitting? Did you ever think about, yeah, no, we need to put him back on the bus?
Yeah, after the 3-year mark, and when we're both fully committed to this, at least verbally, the hardest parts for me as a dad were when I would get a call from you at work and you were discouraged. You're just thinking, I didn't get anything done today. This is not working. Help me. Why are we doing this? And you would ask me those questions. I didn't have real good answers at the beginning. And so that was hard for me. But I remember thinking, I've got to have some really good answers for my wife, for you, because I know this is good, but I need to put pen to paper and tell myself, what's my little 30-second pep talk as to why are we doing this? I know there's answers. And so I did that. I put pen to paper. I came up with the reasons. And it was all primarily about making God's word a priority in our kids' life, about making God real, about loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, walking by faith and showing that, you know, in person to our kids. And yes, it was about reading, writing, and arithmetic, but all from a biblical worldview and instilling those values. And so all these reasons started becoming real for me, and then I'm communicating them to you when you were having a tough day, and that bonded us in ways that were enjoyable and beautiful and helpful for both of us.
Were you ever scared?
There were times that I was scared because I didn't know what the future held. So I remember when our oldest was finishing 8th grade and high school's looming.
Oh, that's
and
scary.
And I started going to the support groups. You were going to all the support group meetings, and I would go to some of them. But when high school approached, I felt like, okay, I've got to make sure we both have a handle, and I've got to take a good lead in this. So I started going to support group meetings when the subject was how to do high school. And I, you know, taking notes and coming back with, okay, here's the game plan. Here's how we tackle high school and transcripts and college prep and all this. But I felt like I came back with, you know, ammunition and answers and plans to confidently go forward, still not knowing exactly how it would all turn out. But that was the first time I started feeling scared and nervous. And then there were other times, and every one of our kids, there's a story of God's faithfulness when I didn't have answers and I had to walk by faith again. And then God provided and filled in gaps so big, as I like to say, a school bus could drive right through it. And each one of our kids has those stories where I became less fearful with each kid, even though even with number 7, there were moments that I was thinking, I'm about to fail my kid, where this isn't going to work. But then I was reminded, but he came through for all the others. Mm. And sure enough, he came through for number 7, just like he did for 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
So this is going to turn out to be a 2-part story with you. And I only slotted you for 30 minutes, just so you know that. So we're going to do part 2. But what I want to talk about is, we talk about on my podcast often about our journey of faith. And so often we look at someone like Abraham and we just think, man, he laid Isaac down on the altar and was willing to sacrifice his son. But one of the things I want to remind my listeners consistently is that's at the end of his story arc. And we forget that it was a story arc. And what I really want to dig into here and what I'm hoping to exemplify through our conversation and even inspire is for other people to consider their faith journey and where they are in their story arc, because it's encouraging to me to see how God has persistently and consistently shown himself faithful. And he really is growing me, and he's growing us, and he's teaching us, and he hasn't given up on us. He's been incredibly patient with us and kind, and I'm so grateful. So listeners, next time we're going to pick it up right here. And in the meanwhile, if you're up to it, I would encourage you to get out that journal that we talked about a few episodes ago and just document your own faith journey. See the evidences of God. See the little stakes in the ground along the way where he's really grown you, dared you to trust him, and invited you to obey him. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to send it to info@rachelcarman.com. And while you're at Rachel's website, check out her wonderful resources, including the Word in Motion Bible curriculum. We want to take a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on the podcast. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. Moms, more than ever, we really do need each other. We need to be challenged, and we need accountability in the Word. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the Real Refreshment Podcast.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Scott. As a servant of God, wife, and mother of four, I understand the juggle of multiple roles and stages. That's why I created the Encourager podcast, to help guide us through the messy middle stage of life. Join me on the Encourager as we challenge the chaos and embrace harmony. Together, we'll create practical systems to balance your roles and fulfill priorities. And we will do it while having joy and energy for both home and work life. Tune in for inspiring stories and interviews, actionable tips, and methods to do both home and work life. Because here, we believe you can do all things, just not all at once.